I had to go back in. I was like, Lord, where did I leave off at? It's been a couple weeks. And again, thank you, Miss Joanne, for jumping in there and filling in for me. Still getting used to having a hole where there used to be a tooth. I keep going, I forget. I was eating some beef yesterday, some beef and noodles, and or no, it was pork. You know, sliced pork has a tendency to actually chunk, and I'd be feeling, I was like, oh man, I got a piece of pork crammed up in there, so I got to dig it out with my tongue, and it's not real, what I'd call real fun. But anyhow, we were in Genesis, and chapter 39. We had talked about Judah and Tamar, and the whole, like I said, the soap opera hasn't even really kicked off yet. I mean, like I said, if you just want to, I mean, who needs The Young and the Restless when you can read the Old Testament? There's all kinds of things that are going on in, as far as a interesting storyline. But we are in Genesis chapter 39, and we'll pray. Father, I thank you and I praise you for this day. And Lord God, we thank you for the opportunity to be here tonight to begin to look at your word, to begin to study it, to understand who you are and what you have done for your people in the times past. And Lord, right now we pray for the family of the man who was shot in Georgia today. Lord, we ask right now that you minister to them peace and comfort, Lord God, and just help them through this time. And Lord, we pray for the man who did the shooting. Lord, we pray that his heart does get turned around. But Father, we also realize he has a debt now to pay to society. And Father, we just thank you, Lord, that he has been caught. He is being brought in for justice, Lord. We just thank you, Lord God, that right now that everything that the enemy has done today to try to stir trouble for Brother Creflo, Lord, I pray right now that you turn this back on the devil, Father, that you and you alone will get glory, Father. And I thank you and I praise you, Father, for moving in this situation in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. So Genesis chapter 39. Now, we'd already knew that Joseph had been sold into slavery. His brothers threw him into a pit with snakes and spiders and all kinds of things, and he's wasn't a big fan of them. And slave traders came along, and he was subsequently sold to the slave traders, unbeknownst to Reuben, who was going to go back and rescue him and try to get back in Dad's good graces. But the other brothers had ulterior motives instead of killing him, which was probably, as we'll learn, a good thing that they didn't. He was sold into slavery. So verse 1. Now Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down there. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a successful man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in his hand. So Joseph found favor in his sight and served him. Then he made him overseer of his house and all that he had put under his authority. So it was from the time that he had made him overseer of his house and all that he had had that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Now I want to just stop right there. I do like stopping and pointing out things that are happening and what you can see. We see God is blessing an idol worshiper, a person of the world, for the sake of one man. Now if anybody wants to know what's wrong with this country, it's because this country no longer honors God or its people, or his people. There's no respect for the church, obviously. We wouldn't have armed guards in churches. We wouldn't have church shootings. Okay? The people no longer honor God. They no longer honor those who serve God. And obviously from not just there, but in our legislation and executive branches, we have it all the way down. So we see here, though, that God blessed probably a potentially evil, very evil man just because of Joseph. Verse 6, thus he left all he had in Joseph's hand, and he did not know what he had except for the bread which he ate. Now, Joseph was handsome in form and in appearance. Now, remember, Joseph is 17. So, you know, of course, you know, those of us guys who were 17, we remember. We thought we were studs. We thought we were the cat's meow, whatever. We thought we were it at that point in our life. It couldn't get any better. Personally, I think later years of my life were a little better than 17. I was a scrawny, smart-alecky know-it-all with nothing to back it up. Now I'm just a slightly receding hairline 42-year-old, still smart-aleck. Got just a little more to back up what I say. So he was a good-looking guy, okay? And it came to pass after all these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said to his master's wife, "Look, my master does not know what is with me in this house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in his house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Again, there was even at this time, before the law, there was a code you did not go against. You did not take another man's wife. Now, just some of you may know this about ancient civilizations and customs. The men, it was okay. Okay, I'm not saying that I agree with it. Obviously, we saw it with Judah. Judah ran off and slept with a whore. Or so he thought. Turned out to be his daughter-in-law. Got a little weirder there. Back then, it was okay for the man, but not the woman. However, two things happened. They still snuck around and had their affairs, or they became lesbians. That is a very common thing. You have to actually get in and study the civilizations to understand and know that that's what was happening. Okay. However, if the woman was caught having an affair in the Roman civilization, Greece, all of them, and the Egyptian, she could be put to death. But the man, again, it was okay. But not to take, you couldn't sleep with his wife. She could, like I said, if she could sneak around and do it, she could do it. And particularly with Joseph being a slave, I mean, come on, this is not nothing new. Thomas Jefferson has black descendants. Okay? So it's not like taking your slave because it was considered property. That's the way they looked at it. So Joseph is refusing her. Now you got to understand, this has not just been a week-long thing. He was in Potiphar's house for 1 year. 1 year, and nearly every day, this woman is coming to him. Come on. Nobody's going to know. She even asked him, according to the book of Jasher, "If you're concerned about my husband, he doesn't need to know." And he still refused. As a matter of fact, Jasher says that she continued this pressing into him, and she started longing and desiring him so much that she became ill. She literally got physically sick because of it. This is something that does indeed happen. I can attest to that. I was working over here at Woodside and was trying to work at night so that there wasn't any hectic in the hallway. And a particular orderly kept stopping, and she would just stand there. And once I realized what she was doing, I began to pray in the spirit. And it was not 10 minutes later, I learned she had to go home because she was sick. She was literally sick at her stomach. She thought she was going to puke. That's what it does. And what that woman was thinking is beyond me. I couldn't get drunk enough. So you know. She wasn't one of those that looked good after a six-pack. Maybe six kegs. That way you're passed out and don't know anything. No, not that I would have anyhow, but again. So she kept coming to him and coming to him. So it was, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he did not heed her to lie with her or to be with her. He got to a point where he got smart, guys. He realized, this isn't good for me to even be around her. This is where a lot of guys and gals get themselves in trouble. When the first sign of it hits, instead of saying, okay, put a watch on it, we can check this out. And as it continued and continued, he even began to realize, I can't be in the same room alone with her. It will not be good. However, there came a day. But it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house were inside. Just so you know, it wasn't just the men. There was nobody around. There was a celebration because of the river was full, and it was a celebration. So everybody was out partying and having a good time. She had been sick, remember? Because of her sickness, she couldn't go. And Joseph decided he wasn't going to go worship the fertility gods that were flowing through the river, and he was going to stay home and do his work. However, she had other things on her mind. And so none of the men of the house were inside, that she caught him by his garment. Now, this wasn't just walking by and catching. She called him into her where she was at. And this is where she really began to put the pilot on thick. He's not going to know. Nobody needs to know about this. This will just be our little thing. And he said, no, I will not do this. And it was at this time, desperate times call for desperate measures, that she grabbed him. Except you got to understand, she did not grab his tunic. She didn't grab his sandals. She grabbed his underwear. He was facing her. And she was going for the gold. Let's just put it that way. She grabbed at his loincloth, ripped it. And he ran out. She realized she's got evidence in her hand and she'd better quickly make up a story. So she went back and laid down on her bed and acted like Joseph had tried to rape her. She cried out. The men of the house came running in to see what the problem was. And she told a story that the Hebrew that Potiphar brought into house was making a mockery of them, and that he tried to rape her. Well, the story got out. She told it to Potiphar. Potiphar actually had Joseph scourged. If you don't understand what that means, he was whipped. His other servants were whipping Joseph because of this. Joseph continued his innocence. Now, Jasher records something that I've never even heard, and it's by all means possible. God made a donkey talk to get hold of somebody's attention. Jasher says that there was one witness to the whole thing, her 11-month-old baby. And that God opened up its voice, and the baby said, he's telling the truth. Potiphar heard it. The men who were beating him heard it. And so they called off the beating. However, Potiphar still hauled him to the judges to be judged. And the reason they would hold him off to be judged was because he defended himself. He brought accusation against her, an Egyptian, and him, a slave. So he was danged if he did and darned if he didn't. However, I also believe God had to get him to a certain place, but I don't know. I can't say that Joseph could have done anything different, but knowing that he did continue to exalt himself and he thought really well of himself, I mean, like I said, there's one thing about thinking good about yourself and there's another thing about thinking really good about yourself, especially when you're the low man on the totem pole and you think you're better than your other brothers who could kick your scrawny little rear end. So he was beaten and thrown into prison. Jasher said that her name was Zelika, that she did not stop her pining, that she came, I believe it was for at least 3 months, every day to try to seduce him. If he would, she would have him brought out of prison and reinstated. Now, obviously, is she going to do that? Probably not. It wouldn't be to her advantage. And to be honest with you, if somebody I had hired, there was an allegation that they had tried to rape my wife, do you think I'm going to hire them back in to be with my wife? Yeah, I don't think so. You may have been proven innocent, but there's parts of the story I'm not getting, and we're not going to set that scenario back up. So Potiphar probably wouldn't have done it. He was smart enough to know that when God's blessing somebody, you promote them. You take care of them. However, he was foolish enough not to investigate the whole thing. Because here's the deal. The judges did indeed, they said, all right, we've heard his side of the story. Again, he brought accusations against an Egyptian woman. And they said, there's one way that will tell this. Bring us his loincloth. And if it is ripped from the front, he was indeed facing her, or facing away, trying to get away from her. And so they brought it, and they found out that it was ripped right where it should have been for him to have been pulling away from her. And they said, she's lying. But Jasher doesn't record anything happened to her, probably not anyhow. But again, he was thrown into prison because he had brought charges against her. So now Joseph is in jail. He's in prison. And we're going to go on up to, I'm going to go to verse 21 back here, Jerry. The rest of you. But the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy, and he gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison, whatever they did there. It was his doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority, because the Lord was with him, and whatsoever he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Now that sounds like the kind of man you want to have on your side, even if he is in jail. The jail prospered. Whatever they did, there was a time in life when you worked. You didn't just go to jail and watch Oprah all day and play basketball and lift weights and stuff like that. Oh, and maybe telemarket. You do know it's where a lot of them are coming from, right? Major prisons across the United States have got telemarketing centers, and they hire prisoners to call your phone number, even though they don't know which number they're calling. So don't carry on long conversations with them. Just hang up. But they had business, and everything they did, God caused it to prosper because of Joseph. And I don't know about you, but let's say I were a prison guard. I don't even check to see what the man's doing. There's no need. Everything he's doing is prospering. It's doing good. And the guard, the keeper of the prison, the warden, had no need to even think about looking. Chapter 40, verse 1. It came to pass after these things that the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt offended their lord, the king of Egypt. And Pharaoh was angry with his two officers, the chief butler and the chief baker. So he put them in custody in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison, the place where Joseph was confined. Did you ever wonder what they did? What could you do to tick off the king? Probably a little bit of anything. But here's what Jasher records that they did. The butler, they were having a big party. The butler had allowed wine go through that had flies in it. The baker, the head baker, had allowed bread to go through that still had nitre or sodium chunks in it, or salt. the salt wasn't ground up finely and dissolved into the bread properly. So when they'd bite into it, they probably bit into rock hard chunks of crystals that were really, really bitter, and laced that with fly infested wine. You couldn't get rid of the, you understand. The king was a little furious because this happened on the same party. So those were their crimes. And I was sitting here thinking, you know, after I looked up to see what nitre was, I'm thinking, well, maybe it was something poisonous. It was just salt. And, you know, other than maybe being super hard and maybe breaking your teeth, he could pass on the flies and, you know, filter them out. But, you know, you crunch out on a hard chunk of salt, you know, that could hurt. But what on earth? Because, well, let's just keep going. I'm getting a little ahead of myself. Yes. Yes. Yeah. So there were some things. Yeah, that was the other name that it was known by. Yep. Verse 4, and the captain of the guard charged Joseph with him, and he served them so that they were in custody for a while. Then the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, who were confined in the prison, had a dream, both of them, each man's dream in one night, and each man's dream with his own interpretation. And Joseph came into them in the morning and looked at them and saw that they were sad. So he asked Pharaoh's officers who were with him in the custody of his Lord's house, saying, why do you look so sad today? And they said to him, we each have had a dream, and there is no interpreter of it. So Joseph said to them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell them to me, please. Now again, we've talked about dreams. I think it was even last year we did a whole big series on it. Ask God for dream interpretations. Again, everything means something to you. I even read an article yesterday that's what it was talking about. The dream, the interpretation of the dreams comes from things in you. You're the one who's going to understand them. And Joseph was merely telling them, it comes from God. It's not that I have this rocket or this scale that says rainbows mean this and doves mean this. You know, because again, it all depends on your view of what they are. A wolf might be threatening to one person and mean something entirely different to somebody else. So these guys had some weird dreams. Verse 9. Then the chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, behold, in my dream a vine was before me, and in the vine were three branches. It was as though it budded, its blossoms shot forth, and its clusters brought forth ripe grapes. Then Pharaoh's cup was in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup and placed the cup in Pharaoh's hand. And Joseph said to him, this is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days. Now within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift up your head and restore you to your place, and you will put Pharaoh's cup in his hand according to the former manner when you were his butler. But remember me when it is well with you, and please show kindness to me. Make mention of me to Pharaoh, and get me out of this house. For indeed, I was stolen away from the land of the Hebrews, and also I have done nothing here that they should put me in this dungeon. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, I also was in my dream, and there were three white baskets on my head. In the uppermost basket were all kinds of baked goods for Pharaoh, and the birds ate them out of the basket on my head. So Joseph answered and said to him, this is the interpretation of it. The three baskets are 3 days. He's thinking, all right, right on the money. Within 3 days, Pharaoh will lift off your head from you and hang you on a tree, and the birds will eat the flesh from you. Now it came to pass on the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, that he made a feast for all his servants, and he lifted up the head of the chief butler and the chief baker among his servants. Then he restored the chief butler to his butlership again, and he placed a cup in Pharaoh's hand. But he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet the chief butler did not remember Joseph, but forgot him. Now, two things. One, it was the birthday party the last time they got these two guys in trouble. They had been there for a year. That was typically the minimum sentence was a year. 2. 2, let me go back. He forgot him. Jasher says that this was from the Lord. And the reason that it took so long, it was 12 years. You go into jail, prison, you're 18 years old and you're coming out 30. It says, Jasher says that this thing was from the Lord because he doubted God. And he addressed the butler and asked him to get him out of prison instead of letting God take care of it. He pleaded his case. Again, Jasher records it there that he pleaded his case. What did we just see here? He pleaded his case to somebody else. Now, I know that's a hard thing to... You want to make sure your innocence is known. Is that not right? I personally, I mean, that's something I find hard to do, is to stand back and be quiet. But I know, and I've watched several people who've had allegations brought against them, and they've kept quiet. And I've thought, why not defend yourself? But when it was all said and done, God took care of it. Because they held their peace and did not address the allegations. Creflo Dollar was one of them. Somebody started spreading lies about him. The federal judge thought, I'm going to bring charges against him. The federal judge brought the charges against him. Big, I mean, I don't know how many, probably hundreds of thousands of dollars wasted on attorney's fees. That when it was all said and done, the federal judge went to federal pen. Because God had turned it around on him. So that's a lesson right there for us. We're going to be accused. I mean, that's why we prayed tonight. The way they're going to try some way to accuse world changers for this man coming in and shooting. There is never a good reason for that. Never. But yet people will do it. I read some of the idiotic comments on the story this afternoon. Those people have to answer to God, not me. As soon as we found out, we began praying in the Spirit, letting God take care of it. We did ask for him to be caught and be brought to justice. Dear, if you would go get Harold, and do you want me to pray for Kayla? If she wants to, let her know. We're going to be wrapping up so they can. I'm not going to go any further because next we have Pharaoh's dream. And I know most of you in here, you've heard this story before. Well, it's got a lot of weight to some things. So we want to, I'm not going to just try to get into it because, again, I want to keep everybody on somewhat of a decent time schedule. But even with the story of Joseph and Zelika, there was at one point the Zelika was laying on her bed and she's, oh, I'm so sick, you know, stuff. And her friends come and they say, why are you so sick? What's wrong with you? And she said, have you seen the young man in my house? No, we haven't. And as they were all sitting around eating citrons, it said they were peeling them. I'm not for certain. I didn't look it up to see exactly what it was. Some sort of fruit that you peel with a knife. Said to Joseph, she had Joseph dressed up in really fancy duds, princely garments. And she had him come into the room. And when he came into the room, none of the women were paying attention to what they were cutting, and they all cut their hands. That they were all taken. And they looked at her and he said, now we know why you are the way you are. And they encouraged her. Because again, you got to keep in mind the mindset of this civilization. These women were starved for affection. Yeah, so what, she had a baby, but it was probably once a year that she actually was intimate with her husband. And so, you know, there's just so many things going on. Now, here's an interesting thing I found kind of interesting about this. This time frame is about 1800 B.C., somewhere in that neighborhood, just a little bit before. To put that in perspective for you, Stonehenge was believed to be established at 2000 B.C. So it kind of starts putting some things into light of what was going on in the world. We got Druids on an island in the North Atlantic moving huge rocks, God only knows how. And we got irrigation, the first civilized irrigation happening in South America. So we got lots of different things happening in throughout the world during this time frame. So God's got a plan. We're not going to be fooled. The devil comes along with things to try to throw every last one of us off of our trail. If I can get them busy doing this, if I can get them doing that, maybe we can go here, maybe we can get them there. I always liked, and I don't remember who said it now, said if the devil can't make you bad, he'll make you busy. You don't have time for God. You don't have time to come to church. Now, don't nobody take any guilt or condemnation because you had to work, okay? Especially you. I know the devil likes to ride you about it. You feed your family. Because I know if you can be here, you're here. But the devil wants nothing more than to sidetrack people. Do you know one thing I can see that the devil trying to do with this whole mess in Georgia? It's not safe to go to church. Church is still the safest place. Because that was the biggest comment, the most common comment. It's not even safe in church. Well, if you understand anything, it's never been safe in church. But neither should the church be a bunch of weenies. I expect that if at any time anybody dumb enough to walk through those doors bearing arms, that the people of God, that those that are security, do not have to do anything because the people of God have already rose up in the prophet in their spiritual language, and they ran into the real security that stands around this place. Because we ain't got no little weenie angels. We ain't got no of them little cherubs running around half naked. We got them great big hulking. Huge angels. You know, back then I believe that they saw spears and swords because that's what they could understand. Now we can understand lasers, we can understand machine guns. And I see one looking like Rambo standing up there. You may even have a little. We got 14, they can stand in here without having to bend their head down. So don't listen. You probably have people talk about it. You know, again, there was no good excuse for what the man did. He was up to no good from the beginning. So, all right. Well, Harold and Kayla, I'm going to pray for you guys. If there's anybody else that would like prayer, come on up and we will definitely lay hands on you. We know God's going to take care of things. We know He's going to heal. So go ahead and everybody stand. Hallelujah. Come on up here. You guys coming up? Okay. All right. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord God, I thank You that Your Word says that by the stripes of Jesus Christ, we were healed. And Lord, right now, I speak to Harold's body. I curse this melanoma in the name of Jesus. This thing has to disappear. All the roots will shrivel up. It will not have any rooting. It will have no foundation in his life. There will be no sign of it in blood tests. There will be no physical sign of it in Jesus' name. I speak life, health, and fullness in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Father, I speak life right now into her body. I bind every germ that is trying to come against it. Lord, I pray that these blood cells that you've created to stand against this in Jesus' name will rise up with your healing power, and they will overcome every sickness the enemy is throwing at her. Lord, right now her head will clear up, her body will no longer ache, and her fever will break in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Yes,
more cancers come up on my legs.
What is this of that ugly little devil? In the name of Jesus, Lord God, I speak life right now into these legs. I bind cancer in the name of Jesus. These things have to leave. They have to fall off. They have to disappear. Father, I don't care what they have to do. They will leave in the name of Jesus. There will be no sign of them anymore. Lord God, and I thank you right now. You are manifesting this thing. He is healed. There is life flowing through him right now in the name of Jesus. The blood of Jesus flows through him because he is covered in the blood. He is saturated in that blood. And that blood was also shed for this new covenant that we now have. Father, I pray for his faith. I strengthen him right now, Lord God. We join our faith with him to stand against this thing. And no matter what the devil's telling him, he is healed and he is whole. And all these lies that the devil may be speaking to him, block his ears, Lord. Clear his mind in the name of Jesus. You feeling?
I've just had more headaches in the last 2 weeks than I usually have in an entire year.
Okay. Hallelujah. Kuram batarasha katarambororididi sikiti lidiridi. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, Lord, touch her. Father God, heal her right now. Father God, loosen. Loosen these nerves. Father, these joints that are in a bind, Father, muscles, Lord, right now. Father, let your healing power flow through her right now in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord God, that your healing virtue is flowing through her right now. Father God, that these headaches are a thing of the past. That her mind is clear. Her mind is healed. Everything that is coming against her will cease. In the name of Jesus, we declare this thing done. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Did you hear with her? You too. Hallelujah. Has it been agitated?
It just doesn't feel right.
Okay. First off, Lord God, in the name of Jesus, I bind fear. I bind every lie that the devil is spewing out of his filthy mouth right now in the name of Jesus. Ears, hear the truth. There is nothing, nothing that God didn't take care of already. This body is healed. I speak life right now in the name of Jesus. Right now, ulcers be healed, lesions be healed in the name of Jesus Christ. Father God, bring these stomach acids into balance. In the name of Jesus, I declare his body healed and whole. Hallelujah. Kora patara sakatarada. He is healed. He is strong. He is victorious.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Siki porondarada bashatarada kotola didi. Siki torondalada maradidi kiti lalanana. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. The devil's a liar. You don't have to believe the first thing that he says. He's coming to try to take people out because he's scared. You continue to stand against him and know that God's got your back. We've got your back. And I don't care what the devil says, one of us can send his entire legions fleeing. Just remember Jesus. There was only one of him standing there. And there was legions inside that man. And they fled. They were begging. Hallelujah. Well, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. I thank you right now, Lord God, that you have heard our prayers, that these people are healed, they're whole. Lord God, that you're dealing with the whole thing that's happened at World Changers in Georgia, Lord God. Father, we thank you right now, Father, that people are going to start opening their eyes. They're going to see the truth. They're going to turn their hearts back to you, Lord God. Father, that Christians will stand up in this nation for godly principles once again. And one of them is, we are healed by the stripes of Jesus Christ. Now, Lord, I bless these people. I bless each and every one of them. Lord God, go before them. Defeat their enemies to their left, to their right, and into their front. Lead them in all truth, Holy Spirit. Cause God's word to become light in this terrible darkness. In Jesus' name, amen.